This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Ku Su Chuang. For now, though, we are turning the spotlight on homelessness. So early this month, Dewan Bandaraya Kuala Lumpur, or DBKL, announced several initiatives to ensure that the homeless in KL are not left out of the vaccination drive, in collaboration with NGOs such as Souls 24/7 Foundation and the Kichara Soup Kitchen. Now, these measures should be lauded and strengthened because the homeless are among the vulnerable groups that have been hit doubly hard by the pandemic.
And this is a question we are asking this morning on our BFM poll. Have you noticed more homeless within your neighbourhood? And of course, there are three choices. Yes, no, not sure. And we've had close to 100 votes, but what surprises me is the results, because 58% say no, 31% say not sure, while 11% say yes. And I think this maybe is due to where you stay, because even in our conversations in the studio, we've had different responses. But the question is, how pervasive is this issue of homelessness? And are they receiving adequate help and support to survive during this pandemic?
So for some context on the issue and policy responses that should be considered, we speak to Dr. Juwita Muhammad, fellow at the Institute for Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS, Malaysia. Juwita, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. Can we start with this basic question? How prevalent is homelessness in Malaysia, especially taking into account the impact of the pandemic?
Good morning, everybody. So even though there's no official available updated data on homelessness in Malaysia, through the work of the NGOs in KL, they saw that there was an observed increase of about 10 to 15% of people going to the soup kitchens and to those who are in need of shelters. And we saw that at the end of last year, thousands of homeless people were housed in temporary shelters during the lockdown. And we also saw in April that around 800 homeless people were to be offered jobs in KL particularly. It was also found in general that more than 90% of the homeless population is actually made up of local Malaysians. So without available updated data, I think we really can't highlight how urgent the issue is right now.
What do you think are some of the misconceptions that people might have about the homeless or becoming homeless?
I think some people may think that this is a choice that was made, but this is not true at all. In an article, it was written that there are three types of homelessness, and one is due to displacement or marginalization. The other one is because of lack of access to affordable housing, especially in the urban areas. And the third one would be due to issues related to land planning and designing of houses for the poor. So with the pandemic, we saw that with high levels of unemployment, individuals and families are at risk to live on or under the poverty line. In 2016 alone, in Kuala Lumpur, homelessness stood at about 2,000 people, which was actually a threefold increase from just 4 years earlier. So we can only expect that the numbers will be significantly higher in the wake of the pandemic last year and this year.
So in general, what kind of government assistance is available for the homeless? I mean, both at the federal and state levels. And of course, the important question, how accessible and effective are these programs at reaching the targeted communities?
So at the federal government level, the Department of Social Welfare is responsible of taking care of this particular vulnerable group, along with the collaboration of the state government. We also saw that, we can see that at the state level, the government works closely with the NGOs, who are very active in providing shelters and food through different programs and also mobile medical drives. In KL, sometimes there is also a barber service which hits the street every few months to provide barber services for free to this group. So unfortunately, the homeless shelter program in Malaysia is not as extensive as the one in the US. In the past, the policies on the B40 have focused on one-time cash transfers, affordable housing and upskilling and reskilling of MSMEs, and very rarely are they addressing the root causes of homelessness, such as mental illness or drug use. So in Malaysia, as I mentioned before, you can see that there are different NGOs working on different types of programs, like the Pertiwi Soup Kitchen, the Kacara Soup Kitchen, Dapur Jalanan, Need to Feed the Need, Kasih for You. So these agencies act as mediators between the government and homeless. But a lot more can be done once more targeted assistance is given.
Juwita, earlier we mentioned that DBKL is working with these NGOs to ensure vaccine access to the homeless. Could you talk to us a little bit about the challenges that you see in providing aid or ensuring access to vaccines to the homeless during this pandemic? And what do you think of the government's response to address this?
So I feel that first and foremost, information dissemination is vital in ensuring that those in need know when and where to go. And this is not just for the vaccination program, but it's also for the one-off cash transfers. There needs to be, again, apart from the vaccination, there needs to be a long-term plan for the homeless to be rehoused, reemployed, and find employment to that so that they can be integrated back into society. And this would be related to funding as well. So I think there needs to be more of an outreach by the government to ensure that all the homeless people can get proper access to such aid.
Juwita, related to funding, of course, is the private. By that, I mean the NGOs. There's been some feedback that funding has been an issue because of the lockdown, so it's harder for them to raise money. Have you heard any such news?
Well, I can see that the NGOs and even at the individual levels right now, you know, with the food banks popping up and with individual initiatives, I feel that even though the soup kitchens are not able to have sufficient funding, there are substitutes through different food banks and also individual initiatives through donation. And again, without proper data, I'm not so keen in doing further analysis, but I feel that there are movements pushed not just at the NGO level, but individual levels, especially in the urban areas in Malaysia.
So what kind of policy measures should be in place to address the issue of homelessness beyond short-term aid?
So as mentioned before, there needs to be a long-term plan for them to be rehoused, reemployed, so that they can be integrated back into society. I feel that research and data transparency is needed to address and combat the causes of homelessness. Pilot projects such as the ongoing organic farming projects in KL is a great way to provide employment for the group. More projects such as this is needed to ensure that they do not go back onto the streets. We can tap into the GLCs where social entrepreneurship is one of their main activities. So we can also tap into their resources as well in this very urgent time.
Juwita, thanks so much for weighing in on this issue. That was Dr. Juwita Muhammad, fellow at ISIS Malaysia, talking to us about the kind of policy measures that we should be considering in order to tackle the issue of homelessness.
Well, the one takeaway metric that I got from Juwita's response is the fact that we've got 2,000 homeless in the Klang Valley, right?
In 2016.
So that was a tripling from the comparative from previous period. not wanting to trivialize the issue, but, you know, 5 years later, you know, for example, that number, even if it rises by fivefold, it's 10,000, right? It's important to realize that this whole issue about the wealth divide, because this is exactly what it exemplifies, the bridge between those who have been left behind and those who are getting farther, further and further ahead, who are buying the Lamborghinis, if you like, right? It's a developed world issue. I've seen homeless people in California, right? I've seen homeless people in Tokyo. And it's very, very common in those countries. Basically in California, you know, there's literally hundreds of thousands of homeless people, people who live in their cars. Now, Malaysia is still at the start of this whole trajectory. I think it's important that we are able to nip this in the bud and get it early.
Yeah, which is critical to have the right policies in place, right? Like what Dr. Juwita says, there's three priorities. You need to rehouse them, re-employ them. And then the very part I think that we forget is the how do we integrate them back into society? So we need to have solutions that cater for them. It's not as simple as, okay, we just need to find places for them to stay. It's much more complicated than that. And COVID-19 makes the situation far more complicated.
I think one of the things that struck out to me about the conversation is when Dr. Juwita was talking about the reasons people become homeless. And the truth is, most of the time, nobody chooses to become homeless.
Nobody wants to be homeless. Nobody wants to be a refugee, for example.
Exactly.
It's you're victims of circumstances.
And there are lots of well-meaning people who want to help. It is about channeling and coordinating all the aid available. She spoke about tapping into GLCs and social entrepreneurship programs. There is a lot that can be done. You know, it's just we need the political will to kind of channel all that into a cohesive strategy.
But I think what's amazing is that actually COVID-19 has brought to focus that Malaysians also have a community and generous spirit, because we've seen lots of Kita Jaga, Kita campaigns, and when people put up white flags, people contribute. I even see that even in my neighbourhood. So that's a bit of good news here, actually, in terms of us Malaysians.
Yeah, I want to shout out this URL, right? I think it's kitajaga.co, okay? And you can see basically a map that is in your locality, and you can either be a blue flag or a red flag, right? Red flags are people who have put up their hands and said, we need this or we need that, whether it's milk powder or diapers, for example. And then there are people who put up blue flags in their address saying that they're willing to help by way of groceries or cash or whatever. Yes, exactly. So that's a good URL to have a look.
Please check that out, kitajaga.co. It is 8:48 in the morning. We're taking a short break, and up next we'll be diving into the Tokyo Olympics with analysis from William Pezek, columnist with Nikkei Asia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.